August 25th. Our reading in the Old Testament for today will be from the book of Job, chapter 16, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 19, verse 29. Well, Job's friends were supposed to be comforting him in his grief. Instead, they condemned him for causing his own suffering. Job began his reply to Eliphaz by calling him and his friends miserable comforters. Job's words reveal several ways to become a better comforter to those in pain. There are five of them. Number one, don't talk just for the sake of talking. Number two, don't sermonize by giving pat answers. Number three, don't accuse or criticize. Number four, put yourself in the other person's place. And number five, offer help and encouragement. Try Job's suggestions, knowing that they are given by a person who needed a great comfort. The best comforters are those who know something about personal suffering. And as we read on in today's scripture, we'll see that Job was afraid that God had abandoned him. Ever felt that way? I have, so I can relate to Job on that level. Yet he appealed directly to God. When you feel abandoned by God, start talking to him. A witness is someone who has seen what has happened, and an advocate is like a lawyer who speaks on behalf of the plaintiff. By using these terms in Scripture, Job showed he had cast all his hope for any fair defense upon God in heaven, because he would probably die before it happened on earth. In the New Testament, we learn that Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. You know, it's easy to point out someone else's faults or sins. Job's friends accused him of sin to make him feel guilty, not to encourage or correct him. If we feel we must admonish someone, we should be sure we are confronting that person because we love him or her, not because we're annoyed, inconvenienced, or seeking to blame. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. August 25th, the Old Testament. Job chapter 16, verse 1, through chapter 19, verse 29. Then Job spoke again. I've heard all this before. What miserable comforters you are. Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? I could say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would try to take away your grief. Instead, I suffer if I defend myself. And I suffer no less if I refuse to speak. Oh God, you have ground me down and devastated my family. As if to prove I have sinned, you've reduced me to skin and bones. My gaunt flesh testifies against me. God hates me and angrily tears me apart. He snaps his teeth at me and pierces me with his eyes. People jeer and laugh at me. They slap my cheek in contempt. A mob gathers against me. God has handed me over to sinners. He has tossed me into the hands of the wicked. I was living quietly until he shattered me. He took me by the neck and broke me in pieces. Then he set me up as his target, and now his archers surround me. His arrows pierce me without mercy. The ground is wet with my blood. Again and again he smashes against me, charging at me like a warrior. I wear burlap to show my grief. My pride lies in the dust. My eyes are red with weeping. Dark shadows circle my eyes. Yet I have done no wrong, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not conceal my blood. Let it cry out in my behalf. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate between God and me, as a person mediates between friends. For soon, I must go down that road from which I will never return. My spirit is crushed, and my life is nearly snuffed out. The grave is ready to receive me. I'm surrounded by mockers.
I watch how bitterly they taunt me. You must defend my innocence, O God, since no one else will stand up for me. You have closed their minds to understanding, but do not let them triumph. They betray their friends for their own advantage, so let their children faint with hunger. God has made a mockery of me among the people. They spit in my face. My eyes are swollen with weeping, and I am but a shadow of my former self. The virtuous are horrified when they see me. The innocent rise up against the ungodly. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. As for all of you, come back with a better argument, though I still won't find a wise man among you. My days are over. My hopes have disappeared. My heart's desires are broken. These men say that night is day. They claim that the darkness is light. What if I go to the grave and make my bed in darkness? What if I call the grave my father, and the maggot my mother or my sister? Where then is my hope? Can anyone find it? No, my hope will go down with me to the grave. We will rest together in the dust. Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, How long before you stop talking? Speak sense if you want us to answer. Do you think we are mere animals? Do you think we are stupid? You may tear out your hair in anger, but will that destroy the earth? Will it make the rocks tremble? Surely the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. The sparks of their fire will not glow. The light in their tent will grow dark. The lamp hanging above them will be quenched. The confident stride of the wicked will be shortened. Their own schemes will be their downfall. The wicked walk into a net. They fall into a pit. A trap grabs them by the heel. A snare holds them tight. A noose lies hidden on the ground. A rope is stretched across their path. Terrors surround the wicked and trouble them at every step. Hunger depletes their strength, and calamity waits for them to stumble. Disease eats their skin. Death devours their limbs. They are torn from the security of their homes and are brought down to the king of terrors. The homes of the wicked will burn down. Burning sulfur rains on their houses. Their roots dry up, and their branches will wither. All memory of their existence will fade from the earth. No one will remember their names. They will be thrust from light into darkness, driven from the world. They will have neither children nor grandchildren, nor any survivor in the place where they lived. People in the West are appalled at their fate. People in the East are horrified. They will say, This was the home of a wicked person, the place of one who rejected God. Then Job spoke again. How long will you torture me? How long will you try to crush me with your words? You have already insulted me 10 times. You should be ashamed of treating me so badly. Even if I have sinned, that is my concern, not yours. You think you're better than I am, using my humiliation as evidence of my sin. But it is God who has wronged me, capturing me in his net. I cry out, Help! But no one answers me. I protest, but there is no justice. God has blocked my way so I cannot move. He has plunged my path into darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He has demolished me on every side, and I am finished. He has uprooted my hope like a fallen tree. His fury burns against me. He counts me as an enemy. His troops advance. They build up roads to attack me. They camp all around my tent. My relatives stay far away, and my friends have turned against me. My family is gone, and my close friends have forgotten me. My servants and maids consider me a stranger. I am like a foreigner to them. When I call my servant, he doesn't come. I have to plead with him. My breath is repulsive to my wife. I am rejected by my own family. Even young children despise me. When I stand to speak, they turn their backs on me. My close friends detest me. Those I loved have turned against me. I have been reduced to skin and bones, and have escaped death by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me, my friends, have mercy, for the hand of God has struck me. Must you also persecute me like God does? Haven't you chewed me up enough? Oh, that my words could be recorded! Oh, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock! But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. How dare you go on persecuting me, saying, "It's his own fault"? You should fear punishment yourselves, for your attitude deserves punishment. Then you will know that there is indeed a judgment. And now we begin our focus on the New Testament. And today our reading will be from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 24. We'll see that the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering from poverty and famine, so Paul was collecting money for them. He suggested that believers set aside a certain amount each week and give it to the church until he arrived to take it on to Jerusalem. Paul had planned to go straight to Corinth from Ephesus, but he changed his mind. When he finally arrived, he took the gift and delivered it to the Jerusalem church. Paul was sending Timothy ahead to Corinth. Paul respected Timothy and had worked closely with him. Although Timothy was young, Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to welcome him because he was doing the Lord's work. You know, God's work is not limited by age. Paul wrote two personal letters to Timothy that have been preserved in the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy. We'll also read something here today about Apollos. Apollos had preached in Corinth, was doing evangelistic work in Greece, and Apollos didn't go to Corinth right away, partly because he knew of the factions there and didn't want to cause any more divisions. Aquila and Priscilla we'll also read about today. They were tent makers, leather workers, whom Paul had met in Corinth. They followed Paul to Ephesus and lived there with him, helping to teach others about Jesus. Many in the Corinthian church would have known this Christian couple. Paul had a helper, or secretary, who wrote down this letter when he dictated it. Paul wrote the final words, however, in his own handwriting. He says as much here in Scripture. We'll run across that as we read. This is similar to adding a handwritten postscript to a typewritten letter. It also served to verify that this was a genuine letter from the apostle and not a forgery. All right, with that, let's begin reading today here in the New Testament. August 25th, the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 24. Now, regarding your Corinthians question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I will write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, they can travel with me. I am coming to visit you after I have been to Macedonia, for I am planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay a while with you, possibly all winter, and then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time, I don't want to make just a short visit, then go right on. I want to come and stay a while, if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I will be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. When Timothy comes, don't intimidate him. He is doing the Lord's work just as I am. Don't let anyone treat him with contempt. Send him on his way with your blessing when he returns to me. I expect him to come with the other believers. Now, about our brother Apollos. I urged him to visit you with the other believers, but he was not willing to go right now. He will see you later when he has the opportunity. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. I am very glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. The churches here in the province of Asia send greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla, and all the others who gather in their home for church meetings. All the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Greet each other with Christian love. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord, come. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. And now as we look into the book of Psalms, our reading today is from Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 10. Waiting for God to help us is not easy, but David received four benefits from waiting. Number one, God lifted him out of his despair. Number two, God set his feet on solid ground. Three, God steadied him as he walked. And number four, God put a new song of praise in his mouth. Often blessings cannot be received unless we go through the trial of waiting. What God did for David, he will do for you and me. That's why that example is right here in Scripture. We'll also read today here in Psalms, the religious ritual of David's day involved sacrificing animals in the tabernacle. David said these acts were meaningless unless doing it for the right reasons. Now today, we often make rituals of going to church, taking communion, or paying tithes. These activities are also empty if our reasons for doing them are selfish. God doesn't want these sacrifices and offerings without an attitude of devotion to Him. I take joy in doing Your will, my God. Jesus portrayed this attitude of obedience in serving God. He came as the prophets foretold, proclaiming the good news of God's righteousness and forgiveness of sins. David said he would speak of God's faithfulness and salvation to those around him. Now, when we realize the impact of God's righteousness on our lives, we cannot keep it hidden. We want to tell other people what God has done for us. If God's faithfulness has changed your life, don't be timid. It's natural to share a good bargain with somebody else, a friend, or recommend a skillful doctor. So it should also be natural to share what God has done for us. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 10. For the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. O Lord my God, You have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that You have made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come. As is written about me in the Scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold.